الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters, the different things that we see around us, whether they are cars, houses, or of other different objects, you will find that these things, their value is subjective. So you will find that sometimes in one country or among a group of people, something is viewed with in great esteem. Some people think it is very good. Whereas if you were to take the same thing and to take it to another place, those people living there, they will find that thing to be something worthless. So that is why you will find that there are organizations, federations, councils, you name it, corporations, and now we even have a type of degree that we can get in college now, actuarial science, where they are looking at the value of this thing. How is it going to do in the future? For example, you have the KBV. Some people, they won't even accept KBV's jurisdiction over how much your beautiful Honda Civic is worth. They will say, I don't care about the KBV. Even though the KBV says my car is $7,000, I would like to sell it for $9,000. But brothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is dictating the value of a particular thing, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring something to be of value, to be of importance, then indeed this estimate, this decision is something of great importance and of great value to the Muslims. For it is Allah's choice creation might wish for something. But Allah has a greater plan. So of the different houses that are on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deemed the value of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deemed that Masjid al-Aqsa is better than the rest of the masajid around the world. And He also decreed that Masjid al-Nabawi is better than Masjid al-Aqsa. And He also decreed that Masjid al-Haram is the best masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also decided that the people of the book are the best of the nations brought forth. And the best of the people of the book is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of the individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the best of individuals are the believers. And the best of the believers are the ones that are the companions of the prophets. Alayhim afdal salati wa taslim. And the best of the prophets are the ulul azm. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the best of these five is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set these things. Likewise, from the perspective of time, Allah decreed that the best of months are the four sacred months. But the best of all the months is Ramadan. And the best of Ramadan is the last 10 days. But the best days of the entire year is what is dawning upon us just around the corner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Al-Fajr, by His creation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by His creation, this indeed shows the importance of the matter and the value of it. And this value is not subjective anymore, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deemed it to be worthy. وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ. And by the 10 nights. And these 10 nights, the ulama tafsir such as Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, and the other mufassiri like Mujahid, Ata'a, Tawus, all these other ulama, they have said that the 10 nights mentioned in Surah Al-Fajr refer to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In order for people to understand the true value of something, you must know the reason behind it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a Sahih hadith, he said, "Ma min ayyamin al-amal as-salih fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam," yani ayyam al-ashr. "Qalu ya Rasulullah, wala al-jihad fi sabilillah?" قال ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع من ذلك بشيء. He said, there is not any deed, any good deed that is performed during any time of the year except that it is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during when? During the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, yani the last month of the calendar, of the Islamic calendar. So in different narrations, some of the companions, they said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, are you saying that if we are doing good deeds, such as fasting, praying, all these things, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you saying that these things are better than struggling for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And in different narrations, like Ghundur and all these other narrations, some of the companions, they asked twice, they asked thrice. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, and even struggling in the way of Allah is of lesser importance as compared to when someone does good deeds, such as fasting, or praying extra, or reading Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these 10 days. Also, the value of these 10 days, brothers and sisters, is manifested in the fact that Hajj is within these days. Very soon, many of you in this community will bid farewell to your loved ones or relatives or friends, whoever, that are planning on embarking on this spiritual and physical journey. indeed the story behind Hajj itself, the historical significance of Mecca, is something that we as Muslims in the West, we can greatly benefit from. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as you know the story, and I will not go into much detail. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as you know, he had grown old, and he was yearning for a son, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him this son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tested him twice. The first test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to take his wife and his son to this barren place, no trees, no vegetation, no water, etc. And he told them to go there. Now let us look at his wife, Hajar. The unflagging support that Hajar gave to Ibrahim is so apparent, because she realized that the survival of her, the survival of herself and her son, was inferior in priority in comparison to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered Ibrahim to do. She said, Allahu amaraka bihada? Did Allah order you to do this? He said, yes. This one word, yes, was enough to placate all of the worries of this woman. Because of her firm trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was not afraid. Likewise, if you look at Ibrahim, Ismail, the son of Ibrahim, he was indeed a miracle child. In the sense that he grew up without a father. Hajar was literally raising him up like a single mother. So when Ibrahim had met his father, he was already at a teenage age, etc. And Ibrahim, of course, loved his son. This is where the second test comes in. Ibrahim saw in a dream. As you know, the dreams of the prophets are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim told his son, "Verily, inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. I see in my dream, for I'm slaughtering you. Fanzur madha tara. So see, what should we do? What do you think we should do?" Now this question of Ibrahim, it brought about a beautiful dialogue between the father and the son. It wasn't like, "Excuse me, you were never there for me when I was a child. When I was playing in the desert, you weren't there for me during my first game. You weren't there for me, and now you want to slaughter me? Are you nuts?" Ah, no. What did he say? It brought about a beautiful response from an obedient son. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ. Oh, my father, do what you have been commanded. سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find me from the patient ones. So because of the obedience of Ismail towards his father, Ibrahim was able to fulfill his obligation and his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ الْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Because of this, Ibrahim was able to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of the internal struggle, Allah decided, no, you do not need to slaughter your son. Brothers and sisters, if you look at the construction of the Kaaba in and of itself, Ibrahim and Ismail, father and son working together. When the people go to the Hajj, let it be known that when you are going to Hajj, as you are doing the tawaf around the Kaaba, remember just how Ibrahim was re-establishing the Kaaba, you are re-establishing your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, we look at the Jamarat. It's usually called by so many people as the Shaytan or something like that, which is a common misnomer. It's just a verbal thing. But when Ibrahim wanted to go and slaughter his son, Shaytan came to him at three different places. And nowadays, you go to Hajj, you will see people, right? When they see these Jamarat, oh my God, they have just transformed so much. You see their faces turning red, taking their shoes off and throwing it, screaming, hitting the people. what is the significance of this? So let it be known that when you are going to be casting the pebbles at the Jamarat, let it be known that the same amount of energy that you are using to cast away the devil, just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you should be using that same energy in your everyday life in stopping shaitan from leading you to temptations and evil. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم السلام المسلمين فاستغفروا ويغفر لكم. الحمد لله على إحسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه. Brothers and sisters, after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had finished building the Kaaba, he turned around and he made a very interesting dua. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَأُمَتِّعُهُ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ أَضْطَرُّهُ إِلَى عَذَابِ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And Ibrahim, he said, O my Lord, make this place, make this land, make this city a secure place. And bless and give rizq to the inhabitants of this land from the bounties of the earth, from the thamarat. Under what condition? Man amana minhum billahi wal yawm al-akhir. Whoever believes in Allah and in the last day. قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back. And this is according to one version in tafsir, you can find it in At-Tabari. And Allah replies, قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. And whoever disbelieves, فَأُمَتِّعْهُ قَلِيلًا, then we will indeed give them a fleeting blessing. A blessing that is temporary. A blessing that is not going to be forever with you. ثُمَّ أَطَّرُّهِ إِلَى عَذَابِ النَّارِ, that we will indeed send them to the blazing hell. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And how terrible is that final abode. What do we get out of this ayah, brothers and sisters? We as Americans living in the West right now, you must remember that Mecca was already deemed a value by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, precious. Now Ibrahim is increasing it with a dua now. And the condition is what? That the people believe in Allah and the last day. We are living in the Silicon Valley in Santa Clara. Santa Clara is nothing compared to Mecca. Of course not. It's nothing. So this city is not going to be as blessed as compared to Mecca. And indeed, the inhabitants of this city, of greater majority, is of non-Muslims. So what do we need to do? We need to remember that the bounties that we see here around us, the big houses and the big cars, they are just like what Allah has mentioned. The fleeting blessings, it's just temporary. Let us not be drowned in these things. And we should be vigilant about our iman. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was dying, He told all of his sons a very important thing. He said, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And Ibrahim told them before he was dying, like wasiyah, and also Yaqub told his sons likewise, Oh my sons, verily Allah has chosen for you this religion of Islam. So do not die except as Muslims. Someone asked me last week, Sheikh, why is it that today, many Muslims today, or you, for example, they are emulating the wrong people? The reason being, brothers and sisters, is because they do not know the value of Islam. We must educate them, inculcate the importance of Islam. When we are on our deathbeds, what is it that we will tell our children? Are you going to tell them, yes, keep this offshore stock bank account in Virgin Islands or Switzerland, whatever, safe. Make sure the stocks are good. Keep the business running. Keep the customers happy. Are we going to tell them that? Or are you going to tell them, hold on to your deen, just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did? So just like the people that are going to be missing Hajj this year, you have a chance to emulate the people that are performing Hajj. Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she said in a hadith, that when you see the new moon of Dhul Hijjah, and another narration, she said, when the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah begin, and if any one of you that wants to slaughter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person, not the family, but that person should refrain from cutting their hair and clipping their nails. Why? Because the Hujjaj, when they are in the state of Ihram, they are giving up these mubahat for the sake of Allah. So we are doing this in order to seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing this to emulate the great deed of Hajj that they are doing. Muslims in the United States of America, brothers and sisters, have become increasingly accustomed to the standards and morals around them. So unfortunately, we will find some Muslims today, they try to, let's say, Islamify and put a twist to the things around them by citing Islamic obligations. So for example, some people they have said, what's wrong with celebrating Halloween? This will indeed increase the iman of the children, so they will know that they should believe in the jinn. Really? So we send them to do Halloween trick-or-treat? That's nice. I always have a solution for the people that do trick-or-treat. Right? The kids come, they say trick or treat, just say trick and take candy from their bag. Likewise, Thanksgiving just passed yesterday. Some people are like, this is good because we're going to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, we show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because of the pilgrims. We show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the first surah of the Quran starts off with all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We show respect to our parents, not because Mother's Day, Father's Day. We show respect to our parents because Allah says that we should respect our parents. And that is why all of the celebrations of the West, brothers and sisters, are based upon nothing. The celebrations of Islam indeed are based upon hard work and merit. So Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr is after a month of struggle and Ramadan and fasting. And Eid al-Adha is just like when the people, they strive during these 10 days and they do the good things and slaughter and they are rewarded with Eid al-Adha, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling them to do this. Finally, brothers and sisters, after talking about the value of these different things, you now know how important the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are. But remember, the value of the believer only lies in what? Only lies in the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The value of every single believer is equal. But you are only better in value in the eyes of Allah, except through taqwa only. So the question is, do you want to be the normal Muslim, or do you want to be the better Muslim? The normal Muslim is the one that does the obligations, and may Allah give us the ability to at least fulfill all the obligations instead of the prohibitions. And the better Muslim is the one that does the sunan. The believer adorns himself with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That is why during these 10 days, we emulate the way of the believers that are in Hajj. We emulate the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. Wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العلي الكبير واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten the lines. Fill the gaps. استوى اعتدلوا يرحمكم الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله. يا الله. الله.